summer solstice, Pentecost season, the National Aboriginal Day of Prayer, at the end of our national church's call for 22 days of prayer in response to the Truth and Reconciliation Commission's final report. The iconic texts that shape our liturgy today and are assigned for this National Day of Prayer, and of course, Holy Eucharist, the giving of the Lord's very life to us, and today, the baptism of Eve McNeil, the sacrament of eternal life given to her. And that's not to mention, of course, Father's Day and International Yoga Day. Now, maybe besides the very last one, but I don't want to diss yoga, each deserves a seriousness and respect that this reflection time does not allow. So I'm going to try and weave a theme. According to the New World Migration Model, the peoples that we now call the indigenous peoples of the Americas began the perilous journey from North Asia over the Beringia land bridge, now the Bering Strait, between Alaska and Russia, sometime around the end of the Great Ice Age, 15,000 years ago at the latest, or around 35,000 years ago at the earliest. Whatever the date of its beginning, it's so long ago that it predates all the great civilizations that we know of by almost 10,000 years. It's so long ago that all the indigenous creation myths, handed down over thousands of years, never speak of a migration, but only of being created here in the Americas. I think the myths speak a deeper truth than the reconstructions of migratory routes. As we imagine what it would have taken for small bands of people to navigate the thousands of miles across ice and rock, we can only stand or sit in awe. It makes sense to me that God guided them, that God sustained them, and that also, in some fundamental way, that God created them. Imagine wandering across the prairie fields and meandering your way down the coast of Alaska or of British Columbia, and every step you take is the very first time a human footprint has been left on that field, that beach, that mossy undergrowth. The first time human eyes laid sight of a woolly mammoth, a bison, or even a saber-toothed tiger. Remember those from your childhood animal books? On this journey, and as they continue to wander its almost endless expanse, there was given to some of these people a very similar religious impulse that was later given to the Hebrew prophets. For instance, in the famous reading from Isaiah that we just read, a sense of the transcendence of God, as the indigenous religions put it, the great creator. Thousands of years before the Israelite revelation of monotheism that transformed civilization, the indigenous peoples of America, at least some of them, were given some sense that above all the smaller deities was the One, the Great One. They came to combine this with a strong sense of what anthropologists of religion call the immanence of God, expressed in hundreds of different ways, in the sun dance, in the medicine wheel, and in their totems. God in, around, and through everything. The Great Spirit, they called this totality. As our second reading puts it, the Lord is near. Indigenous people were given the sense, given the experiences, both of the physical world and in their spirituality, of a great interconnectedness. Humans were not superior to all life, but dependent on all that is. Everything is gift. Everything is both privilege and responsibility. Today, the summer solstice is the day when our Indigenous brothers and sisters proclaim that the heavens are telling the glory of the great Creator. Today, the sun comes out like a bridegroom from his wedding canopy. There is a strong sense, both in the Aboriginal celebrations of today and in the phrase I just read from David's psalm, that today we celebrate the creation of life in an ongoing way, the fertility of life. Without the sun, of course, there wouldn't be the bounty of gifts. There would be no life at all. Thousands of years before science demonstrated the sun's foundational role in creating and sustaining life, our sisters and brothers knew, as did David. But the human journey, whether Indigenous, settler, or invader, is not simply a matter of finding paradise, plunking ourselves down, and then life becoming peach cobbler and reading a book in a hammock. Another great Aboriginal gift, by the way, a hammock. Even though the great Creator does not make mistakes, even though the Great Spirit provides food and gifts in vast abundance, there are imbalances. There is death, there is violence, there is tribal warfare, there is exile and the subjugation of peoples. There is, as our psalm puts it, secret sins that trip us all up. And there are presumptuous, willful sins that have the power not only to destroy us, but cultures and society. And so the journey, the migration, continues. There is yet an undiscovered continent. There is a place where no human footprint has ever fallen. A land where the world has been put to rights, and every nation and culture finds its spot and role in the interconnected whole. Perhaps this is why, despite the atrocities and disease, the Indigenous peoples experienced after first contact, they were so open to receive the gospel, the message of good news. They recognized and were able, and we are called to recognize today, that the great Creator, the great Spirit, the one through whom all things came to be, made the journey across the land bridge of human flesh and let his foot fall among us, the first human footprints of God. And the Word became flesh and teepeed, long housed, tabernacled, lived among us. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And this is what we celebrate par excellence in the sacrament of baptism. Today in little Eve McNeil, empowered by the Holy Spirit to live her true and deepest identity as God's child. We celebrate this grandest of gifts as it comes to fruition through the love and sacrifice of Christ, also through Sonia and Carl's choices to listen to the Great Spirit, to be led by the Pentecost presence as they cooperated in helping Eve take a great journey that has spanned nations and cultures in order that she might find a home and join Anna and Nevin, who have made this similar journey. Baptism, the water that melts the ice on our hearts, allowing for the new creation to be explored and lived into, over the course of her existence. This is the momentous promise that Christ opens for Eve today. And we remind ourselves, of course, in our own renewal of the baptismal covenant, that we are crossing this land bridge together with Eve. We are called together in grace. We too share in the gift. But we receive what we receive as gift, we understand to be our task. Eternal life is not so much about initial belief, but the grand opening up, the grand and great task of exploring God and what it means to live the flourishing life. And so we are called, in the words of Paul that we read today, to think on all things that are good and true and holy and just and pure, called to be a community that learns to cooperate with the Great Spirit by willing to be reconcilers. As we think about what that means, we practically start with prayer, the prayer for our candidate for holy baptism, which we will join in a few minutes. We pray for Eve and for Eve's family. And we believe in that prayer that we are part of her family, and that is a key. God has called us together from vastly different backgrounds and cultures to be brothers and sisters of reconciliation. And we also pray today for our indigenous brothers and sisters, as they seek a new beginning, as many of them struggle to forgive for the travesties visited upon them, and as they seek to understand how the Great Spirit might help them become partners in our nation, in a land that is no longer empty, no longer wide open. It is still, of course, a place of great beauty, but now it's also paved and polluted. Our journey towards the undiscovered country is never an easy one. Along the way, we wonder if we'll be provided for, if we'll ever find a home. Well, the good news of this Sunday is that God's human footstep falls softly beside ours, reviving our souls, giving wisdom, rejoicing the heart, and on this longest day, giving light to our eyes.